Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. And Mike Rayleigh here, along with my friend Gerald Adams, longtime friend now. We've known each other a pretty good while.
Long time.
Yeah, and thank you for coming in. And Amanda Bratcher is a relative new friend from... Well, you're from the Gastonia area.
Yes, sir.
But you don't have to say sir to me.
That's the second time I've told you that this morning.
I'm from the South, man. That's what I was told to do.
Well, I know. Me too. But you don't have to under these circumstances. Mm. And when we get out into the world, you can go back to saying yes, sir, no sir to me.
Okay.
But
you got
not on the show. This is frivolity and all of that. Amanda is an extension specialist for horticulture in Lee County. Thanks to Bill.
Bill Stone, which we really still need to get him on the show.
Bill, I don't know. Why is he not? I mean, I haven't reached out to him again, but he's the boss.
I'll give him a hard time next time I see him.
Yeah, and Rufus, are you there?
I am here.
Rufus, good morning.
I'm coming from the wonderful, wonderful mountains of North Carolina, sitting outside here overlooking these mountains. But my faithful agent, Brother Whitfield, as Mike knows, is a.k.a. Fat Lay.
How does Keith feel about that?
Fat Lay was driving me one time, and I was asleep. And woke up, and this big fat leg was laying over him, and I said, "Get that fat leg off me!" come here, fat leg. I want you to say hello to Radio.
I want to see Keith. I want to talk to Keith.
Good to hear everybody.
Keith, how's everything? How is it to accompany the great one to Asheville?
Oh Lord!
Is it? I'm sure it's a great experience, isn't it?
Well, he wants to know how he is.
I think we lost you. Did we lose you?
He's a shy fella.
Okay, all right. Man, a few words, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, man, a few words and a 38 special.
Well, after you've called him Fat Leg for all those years.
What it's like to drive me around.
Yeah.
It's an experience.
Amen. It's one of the best experiences I ever have is to drive Rufus around. I learned so much.
Yeah, he's not like you to get lost and go
wait a minute.
Get lost at the same place over and over again, which is up in Person County.
Well, you tell him to go to an area where a beautiful area like Person County that doesn't have a lot of telemetry. Because Shirley went out.
That's Shirley.
Oh, dear.
We were Rufus and I were going to a remote in Person County for another station, another radio station, and an NCN affiliate in Roxborough. And we went to eat at another place, got there fine. But for the second time, we have had trouble getting back to Raleigh.
Yeah.
It just, first time we had three different people give us directions, and they were all different directions.
Oh, dear goodness.
All right, so I tried to follow those, and that didn't work. The second time, which was last year, we just rode around. You've never seen such pretty country in
it's
your life.
It's beautiful, beautiful county.
You go past this same place.
Shirley took us to a dead end too at one point. I don't know if you remember that, but took us to a dead end. So I'm going to make sure that we send up smoke signals or something, because last time we ended up in Eflin. which was good, because near there is where I met Sweet Melissa. But so I love that part of Orange County particularly. But that's not where we wanted to go. We wanted to go to 501.
Yikes! Wrong direction.
Absolutely the wrong direction. But I think it's something about Person County that kind of has a spirit. I think it just kind of takes you away. You lose your mind because it's so pretty up in there, and that's quiet.
A lot of beautiful countryside.
It's
up there.
Very pastoral.
It's just the prettiest place. I just love it up in there. And Orange County, and they have there's a castle up on Red Mountain in Orange County. I don't know how big a mountain that is, but you go up to Roxburgh, and they're 300 and some feet higher above sea level than Durham is, for instance. Mm-hmm. That's why they get all that crazy weather. Yeah. So there's something mystical.
Michael, you mentioned that castle. I have been there when I lived.
Don't doubt that. What, did they have a political fundraiser for you?
Well, when I was lived in a manufactured housing unit, a.k.a. a mobile home at Blackwood Junction in between Chapel Hill and Hillsboro.
Oh, when you were a student. Okay.
Yeah, this guy said, you want to go see a mansion? And it was that mansion, and the big spook jumped out from behind somewhere and scared me to death. But it's truly a mansion with all kinds of goblins and ghosts and things in it.
Well, if you had had Keith with you, you would not have had that problem.
Yeah, if I had
problem.
That leg with me, it would have been okay.
He would have taken care of that spirit. So, what have you been doing in the garden, and how much do you love this weather? I assume it's pretty cool there.
It's about 70 degrees right now.
Yeah, we're about 70, too. Yeah,
and
also
threatening to rain, but that's fine. I'm sitting under a maple tree, and Fat Leg had a nice lounge in the back of his beautiful pick-em-up truck. I'm sitting here, but the only thing I don't have is the Dr. Pepper. I had to settle.
So is he out there? Is he out there guarding you?
Well, he's there here right now. He's going to retire and do detective work.
Oh, okay. So he's
just a moment or two.
Two for one.
Yeah.
Two for one. He's going out on an invest. Is he with the CIA?
Oh, definitely. He's a member of the. Fat Leg's a member of the order.
That's right. Well, he is security and all of that. I didn't know if he was doing work for the CIA.
Well, he's at all times working for the CIA. Gerald, you know what I mean. And Amanda, I'm sorry to keep you out of this conversation.
Yeah,
but it's not
sorry,
it's not fitting for a woman to hear.
No, it's not.
I'll
dealing
cover
with
my
the
ears.
Chitlin' Club is
Excuse
is fitting
me.
To hear.
Excuse me.
But at any rate, sir, what happened in your garden this week? That beautiful garden.
Well, thank goodness every time Palmer would help me water before we finished, here would come the rain, and the grass has grown out of proportion, of course. Two lawnmowers broke down.
Oh, good. Of course.
Well, he had one week before last smoking. I thought the whole Edmonston plantation was on fire.
Yeah, if you recall, Mike, before even seeing him, Phil said, "That's Palmer."
Palmer, apparently, everywhere he goes, he smokes them up with too much oil.
With oil. He said, "That's Palmer," and we went about 10 feet, And lo and behold, there was Palmer in the middle of the road with a lawnmower smoking like a freight train.
Oh, Gerald knows him. So Gerald, I'm sorry you didn't see that. It was quite a spectacle.
That's your
I've
buddy
seen
Palmer.
It before.
They almost had to evacuate the. they almost had to evacuate the grocery boy Junior.
In fact, Gerald is the one that introduced me to Palmer many years ago.
Yeah. Now, don't hold that against
no,
me.
No, he's a nice guy. He just overfills lawnmowers as a practice.
He's to the extreme.
Yeah. What's a little bit needs to be a whole lot. So everything is blooming. Everything has bloomed all year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been spectacular. Amanda, do you remember a prettier year for plants?
Oh, man.
Generally, well, it's kind of hard to remember.
Gosh, I hate to generalize because every year is slightly different. I feel like this year is much earlier because we've had such, even though we had a cool spring, I was looking at my pictures of the Pollinator Haven Garden in Lee County, and we're about 2 weeks ahead, whereas we were 2 weeks behind. So I feel like, at least for my experience in Lee County for the last 3 years, our season has been spectacular, but compact or truncated. Like everything's just like exploded this summer. But our garden is starting to kind of fade out. We're going into those doldrums a little earlier, and I'm hoping we'll get that like fall bloom coming a little bit earlier. But you know, every year's different in North Carolina.
Yeah,
I
certainly
feel like.
Is.
No.
Well, maybe you and Gerald can answer my question. Usually by July 4th, my figs are ripening.
Hmm.
They're just now, I had the first one when I left on Friday morning, yesterday
mm-hmm.
morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, with all the rain, I would have thought they would have been earlier, but they have been late. I just wonder what could account for that. And they are celeste, but
I
recall
that may be it. I don't
know.
I have a brown turkey, and it doesn't get enough sun like everything else in my yard. But I got it from Gerald from the governor's mansion, and I've had for 2 or 3 weeks. I've had some every time I go out to walk. I'll pick a couple on the way out of the yard to for a little pep me up.
Well, it should have been a little earlier this year. Typically, for me. I never grown Celeste. I've always grown brown turkey, and it was usually at maximum production about the 1st of August. You know, you get some of those early figs, you know, a month or so before that. But that's
the big one.
Yeah, that's usually just not many in quantity at all. And what I would think with the way we zoomed into spring and summer this year, that they might would have been a little ahead of that. But, you know, all the little different local environments can vary so much
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to pinpoint one way or the other. And, you know, we had that, you know, we had all that rain, and we went from all that rain to no rain.
Yeah.
And scorching heat and all that. So, you know, I stay confused in that. I think sometimes the trees and shrubs get confused with that.
I'm sure they do. I mean, they're programmed a certain way, and it doesn't always happen. Well, you're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF. Rufus is in Asheville for a big event, and Amanda Bratcher from Lee County, brother Gerald is here.
From Eastern Wake County.
From Eastern Wake County, and little old me here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF, Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here, and Amanda Bratcher from Lee County. Bill Stone's not here.
Bill Stone is not here.
Bill Stone should be here
sometime. He
really should. Well, why doesn't he just come with you sometime?
Well, you know, he does.
Laying that on you now.
Okay. Well, he does have three kiddos.
Yeah.
Young kiddos.
I know.
And
but I had
AJ's
two,
heart.
And I had to come to work every Saturday.
Okay, well, then I'll throw that one out, and I'll run it by AJ and see what she says.
6 days a week.
He is great, and in fact, he's I'm going to throw this out on the radio, and I'm going to give him a hard time because he gives me a hard time.
Okay.
But he's now locally famous for a video playing a soda addiction. So we're
he has a soda addiction.
No, well he played a character that was personifying a soda addiction. So we participate in the county. So Extension's kind of strange. We are this beast that is both county based, but also, you know, state based. So NCA&T and NC State.
Right.
And depending on which county you're in, you're more integrated into the county or not. And we have a very good relationship with our Lee County government folks. And so one of our staff members is part of this health group that tries to promote healthy habits within the county staff.
Uh-huh.
And we are in this kind of departmental battle about increasing water consumption. And so all of them had to create a video to encourage people to drink more water. And so our staff person came up with a script that was like a breakup hotline for trying to help somebody break up with soda and drink more water. And Bill Stone, I mean, you know, award-winning performance personifying soda and soda addiction. And now it's been passed around the whole county. It was a very moving performance.
I have debated with people who advocate drinking so much water before, because my doctor has always told me you can die from drinking too much water.
Oh, you certainly can.
If you don't exercise, that's where you need the water. If you go on a 20-mile run, you need water breaks. But if you're just walking around even on a hot day, if you're just walking around the block, you need. But there are certain circumstances.
Definitely.
But, my doctor doesn't think you need whatever it is, eight big glasses a day. He doesn't advocate that, especially for some people who.
I detect that there's a movement abroad here to break me from my addiction to Dr. Pepper.
Well, I was kind of moving it around to Dr. Pepper's and Fresca, because I do love Fresca, so I didn't know which drink that Bill was going crazy over.
I think in the performance he had an armful of various and sundry.
Oh, okay, but that's a good move.
And cans.
That's a good move.
So there was representation from the Coke and the Pepsi company.
Okay.
So I don't think there was a hard determination. But all that being said, I think Bill just is recovering from his award-winning performance at the county level of personifying.
He's a performer at heart, so that's even more reason why he should come on this show.
Agreed.
And show some of his talents.
I agree. You know,
because
now that you're saying
we allow that, and I'm basically paid to do that. But you know, the Fresca stuff. Lyndon Johnson and I have that in common. It's probably the only thing. But this was not something he sat around drinking. He used it as a chaser. So.
Oh yeah, I bet that is a good chaser.
So at any rate,
okay. Well, I'll work on getting Bill up here. How's that?
That's fine. So Gerald, we have a couple of minutes for news. How is the tomato operation? We'll start on that because we're going to leak over into the next half hour.
Well, I wouldn't say I've had more contacts about tomato disease issues than usual, but there have been plenty of tomato disease issues. I think probably what's been more so here of late, people tend to forget that when we just have day after day of mid-90-degree and above weather, the pollen dries up in the blooms and they stop fruiting.
Yeah.
Many of the varieties. And, you know, you see your plant's healthy, you've dodged the diseases, and you see the blooms, you don't see any fruit, and it's like, what now is going on? So I've had a lot of that in the last few weeks. And as I tell the people, just keep on doing what you're doing, and a week like's coming up, they'll go back to fruiting.
Well, when we come back after the news, I think, Rufus, we need to get into the Rufus tomato controversy here.
Yeah,
as we're getting reports left and right about different looks, Rufus tomatoes, and trying to figure out, are these hybrids or are these...
They're not hybrids. It's as simple as that. It takes 6 years when you cross a tomato to see if it's going to stabilize.
Oh, it's unstable.
That's right. We're in generation five of one and generation three of the other. So. Oh,
it's a beautiful tomato. The Rufus tomato we will talk about, among other things, coming up in the next half hour on The Weekend Gardener. Back on WPTF, an interesting discussion off the air. So often that that happens.
We're trying to tape our mouths shut.
Yeah, because y'all don't want to have to repeat all of this stuff. But well, go ahead, Rufus. We were talking obviously about the Rufus tomato, but Amanda, before you do, yes, go ahead.
Let me support what for Gerald's benefit. What's been given to me? Okay, last week, my friend who brings me the Dr. Pepper, his wife presented me with a Rufus tomato. It was not large, but it was a medium-sized tomato. It was red inside with somewhat, it looked like green stripes in it, but the flavor was really good. Now, I had another person that gave me a Rufus tomato. The color was more orange than red. And the inside was blood red.
And Gerald said...
That's the mutation.
Gerald said that it takes six years to be stable. So
six the generations.
Six generations. So the Rufus tomato is unstable.
Evolving as we go.
It's very unstable.
Boy, oh boy. The flavors were good, Gerald.
Well,
I don't think it's going to be a large tomato.
The original was purple with some green. And it could have some green on the outside, and when you sliced it, you could see some purple in the green. So I still refer to it as the Rufus, and we're up to generation five of that. The one that is more orangey red is what I call the Rufus mutation. That was the first one in generation two.
That's all we need.
That clearly didn't look anything like the first one. What I have not seen yet, Rufus, is a striped version of it. So that really, really interests me. I will say that the one that's orangey red that's not that big, that's probably more with how much heat we've had this year. Lots of times bigger tomatoes, when it's just under so much stress, the tomato will quit, the plant will quit sending nutrients to it. So it may run a little smaller when we have a super hot summer. So I think that might turn around a little bit going forward. But the key is, are they good tomatoes? If they're good tomatoes, they're worth saving out the different versions and seeing. But it does take... 6 years of, you know, basically getting the same fruit back every year from what you planted to say that it has stabilized.
Yeah. Well, now the flavor, in my opinion, is very good. And maybe Richard will call in, because if I recall, Richard got a couple of Rufus plants from you, and he had a different report, which now all makes sense because, okay, this Rufus instability is...
The Rufus is a wild thing, and it's doing all sorts of things, somewhat like its namesake, I would say.
That was Rufus's nickname growing up, wild thing. But that explains a lot, Rufus, because we have gotten all these reports. And
I think this is really important for folks to hear, because my grandfather swears by Better Boy. That's what he grew up. He would seek it out, and I think he's now leaning in more into the German Johnsons and the and the Cherokee Purples, especially since they moved to Mount Airy. Those varieties definitely prefer Mount Airy over Monroe, North Carolina. But back in the day, Better Boy, Better Boy, Better Boy, and you know the kind of the misconception is that, you know, hybrids don't make seeds or don't make offspring, and they do make offspring, because he would always come and tell me, well, Amanda, you know, I had tomatoes come up in my compost pile, and the only thing I put in there were, you know, my Better Boy tomatoes. So, you know, why are they making seeds? I'm like, well, they had seeds in them, and they were viable seeds, and, you know, they went through the compost pile, and they came back up.
It was a good environment
right,
for things to grow.
But the thing about any kind of offspring from tomatoes, depending on the genetics, you know, mom and dad, back at when the flower was pollinated, you know, those genetics are going to be recombined into the seeds of that fruit, and whatever seed germinates, those combined genetics come up through that seed, and they could be good, they could be kind of crap.
They could be like the parents, they could be like the grandparents, they could be edible, they could be very similar to what you had. So
yeah,
it's every single year it's going to be that crapshoot. You know, I had
Are you placing any bets on how it's going to turn out?
No, because what's really unusual, you would think you would see the most mutations and variations the first couple of years that you save seed from them, but lots of times just generation 4 or 5 where you start to see, oh Lord, I never saw this before.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to take the one that variated and save it out 6 to see if it's going to stabilize. And so sometimes you get some that just never stabilize. And so that really is not a good tomato, because you have no idea what you're going to get from one year to the next.
That's so true. You've grown some Gerald tomatoes,
yeah,
have you not? Now, how have they turned out?
So I have them from the Gerald's Lightning now is fully stabilized. It's a dwarf tomato project tomato, compact plant, and the fruit is very similar to Pink Berkeley tie-dye, though it's a little smaller than Pink Berkeley tie-dye. That's what I was trying to accomplish in that, get a dwarf tomato plant version of Pink Berkeley tie-dye.
Okay. All right, we shall return with more of the Weekend Gardener. It's zipping by very quickly. You can get in your calls and about tomatoes or anything else, 860-9783. It's 840. We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Gerald Adams, who was a former curator of the grounds at the governor's mansion, and also at the Centennial Campus, and now you have Frankenstein's laboratory.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know. It's the more and more we're chatting.
That's what it sounds like to me, Gerald.
Like
you can admit it or not.
Well, part of what happens is I probably have more varieties that were a mutation.
See?
I came across. I didn't cross or anything. For instance, I have a variety called Gerald's Mystery. One year, I planted Dester, which is a big pink, looks a lot like German Johnson.
Right.
Tastes a lot like German. It's a big pink beefsteak. And lo and behold, I had one Dester plant. Every fruit on it was yellow with some kind of little red, yellow orange with some red streaks to it.
Pretty.
It tasted good. And I'm like, well, if you have a natural cross on your plant, it's usually just going to affect one or two fruit. You know, you had a German Johnson beside a Cherokee Purple, and the bees did some work for you, and now you've got some kind of combination, but it's only going to be a couple of fruit. When every single fruit on a plant is completely different, then usually that was a mutation of the seed. And if you like it, like I did that one, grow it out and see if it stabilized, and it stabilized, and now I offer it for people, and I call it Gerald's Mystery because I have no idea. It sounded a little better than mutation of Dester.
Gerald, why did you waste your time at Carolina? Why didn't you go to NC State and study some horticulture?
But I already knew most of that.
I started learning that at age five on the tobacco.
It was learn or else was the teaching philosophy for that.
By the way, Rufus, I don't know if I told you last week, and everybody knows about Marshall's out on 64. Near Pittsburgh, near the lake, Jordan Lake. They are finally open. They've been open a couple of weeks, I think. And they got open late because they were having so much trouble getting in the fields because of the rain. And we are used to seeing acres and acres of
right
tomatoes
next to the road.
Yeah, but they don't have they're growing them someplace else.
Good.
So
good.
That's that was the thing. But their little roadside stand is open now. So you know. People were
worried
about that. A great
tomato you brought me, Mike. They're good.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah. So they, and of course, State Farmers Market. I want to mention our friends at Wild Birds Unlimited. If you have those pesky squirrels jumping all over the bird feeders, and everybody has that, they're real acrobats. If you put seed in a bird feeder, you're going to have a squirrel come up and take a look. So they have squirrel-proof bird feeders that Wild Birds Unlimited, and this month you have a chance to win one from our friends at Wild Birds Unlimited in Cary and Raleigh, along with some of their famous No Mess Seed. And you can enter by clicking on the rotating banner at WPTF.com, or you can go to the contest page to enter at WPTF.com. So that'll be a fun thing to mess with and to watch the squirrels trying to get into that feeder, because I've had a squirrel-proof feeder, a couple of them, for years and years, and they just give up. Just give up. And it's I've never seen anybody, an animal with more tenacity than a squirrel.
They are determined.
So, Rufus, are you still under the tree with your Dr. Pepper and cigar, or?
Well, my Diet Coke today.
Oh.
But I do have a roast to share and cigar. And I was thinking, we were talking about tomatoes a while ago. I don't know whether Gerald or Amanda or you got one or not, but I came up with seeds from Cousin Gladys of Johnson City, Tennessee, and grew some and had Phil cure some out for me. And Nelson got one. And Gerald, I think the only way I can describe it is probably a combination between German Johnson and Cherokee Purple. And
nice.
It is a huge, huge tomato. You need one slice for a good slab of light bread.
Gerald, it seems like you might need to investigate that.
I did not eat the one he gave me. I saved the seed out of it, and I will have some of the plants next year.
Oh, well, we'll have some Cousin Gladys tomatoes, plants.
I must say, it's one of the best tomatoes I've ever had. And all she said on the seed packet, and she's deceased now, was a heritage tomato.
Huh.
But you saw what it looked like, Gerald, but you didn't eat it. And all I'm saying is that if there's any such thing as a combination between the Cherokee Purple and a German Johnson, that's it.
Well, am I correct, Rufus? Wasn't it a big pink and had just a wee bit of green on the shoulder?
Yep. Yes, sir.
I didn't know a tomato had a shoulder.
Well, that's what you call next to the stem.
Oh, that's the shoulder?
That's the shoulder of
the
tomato.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. Let me see if I can pull up my notes, Rufus. I did a little research on that, and it seemed like there were two possibilities that at least it looked like. You know, you won't know till you put the taste test on it.
So,
how do you do research on tomato varieties, Gerald?
So you start a couple of ways. One, if you have some idea, just say you give me a tomato. I don't know what this is. My aunt from Tennessee sent it to me. So I'll start Googling Tennessee, a description, pink beefsteak, red beefsteak, cherry, you know, whatever it is, and start looking to try to find pictures. Because today, with everything, you've just, I don't know how many tomato groups all over everywhere. I don't know how many I'm in right now. You may find a picture that looks like it, especially if there's something different looking. It's kind of difficult if it's a 10 or 12 ounce red tomato, because there's hundreds of 10 to 12 ounce red tomato varieties. But if it's super duper big, you know, makes 20 ounce plus size tomatoes, well, you've narrowed that down a lot. And then you get into the color, and you'd be surprised, but lots of times you can run across two or three pictures. Then you've got to get into the taste and all that to narrow it down. So it's not simple to do, but not as impossible as you would think to run down. I'm trying to pull my notes up now, because this particular Cousin Gladys tomato looked just like two other pink tomatoes, one of which has been grown in, you know, a 200-mile circle of here for some time.
So, interesting.
That's how you get to it. What's really crazy, you get variations off of them, and then that drives you.
Sure.
makes it a lot more
one as a tomato lover and an amateur gardener save seed and grow?
So there's two ways to save seed. When you cut the tomato open, you see that little gel, kind of green looking sometime around the seed.
Right.
That's an enzyme the tomato naturally produces to coat the seed so they won't sprout.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. You had this beautiful tomato, you slice it open, and there were roots running all through there everywhere. Well, it wouldn't be fit and eat.
Mm-hmm.
So the tomato naturally does that. Well, you've got to get that coating off if you want to plant the seeds next year. So the old school way, you squeeze the tomatoes, seed juice in a cup, add some water, put a piece of cheesecloth or something breathable on top of it and let it sit and ferment. Could take 4, 5, 6 days. Think rotten tomato times 10, nasty smelling.
Oh.
You'll have,
it's done with the fuzzes on the top.
Mold all on top of it. You'll scrape that off, pour it through a strainer. In the process of fermenting, it ate that enzyme coating off and put the seed on a paper towel or coffee filter, let them dry, you're good to go. Well, Gerald didn't have time for all that.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I was reading been longer than that. 21 or 2 years ago, I was reading something online out of Italy, of all places, and there was a guy there that used OxyClean detergent. The chemical that's the primary one in it is some word that's about a foot long. You couldn't pronounce it for your life. And he did the same thing. He squeezed out the seeds, the juice, added some water. He put 1 tablespoon of OxyClean in it. He stirred it up. In 1 hour, it had eaten the coating off. He dumped the seeds through a strainer, rinsed them off, and dried them. I've been using that same way for over 20 years now.
So it was 1 tablespoon to how much water?
To a cup of water. So 16 or 20-ounce cup of water. And basically, you're not going to fill up unless you're saving a bunch of fruit at one time. You're only going to fill up maybe a fourth, a fifth, a sixth with the juice and seeds from the fruit. So you're just adding the water to it so you can get something, liquid to give it a chance. Now, there may be other detergents that would work. I don't know. OxyClean is what he said try. OxyClean's readily available in a powder form at any grocery store. I started using it then, and I've been using it for over 20 years now. Works great. It's quick. You don't have that stinky mess that you do when you're fermenting one. And tomatoes are really the only thing that you have to do like that. Other vegetables like peppers, you're just getting the seed off, rinse whatever gunk is on them off, and let them dry. You don't have to do. They don't have that kind of coating.
Rufus, do you do that?
Well, what I did, Gerald, and I put it on newspaper. Just the scooped out the inside of the Gladys tomato. Of course, the gunky mess, mold. And there's not much left there.
No,
I do detect some seeds, so I'm gonna get a pair of tweezers and pull them out. But that,
oh, Lord.
That's how I tried it, and what I've heard a lot of people do, and what Grandma used to do.
Well, you're going to have some plants regardless next year, because I saved all the seeds out of the ones that you, that fruit that you gave me. So, and it was surprisingly, just because it's a big fruit don't mean it's 200 seeds in it.
Right.
Different varieties of tomatoes. Sometimes a little bitty one the size of a golf ball may have 100 seed in it, and one that weighs a pound and a half may have 15 in it. There's reason.
I didn't see many seeds in there, and I was so surprised.
Yeah, that one does not have a ton in it, but I did save every one of them, so we'll have plants regardless next year. There's a good chance if you got any kind of mold in it, that may have been enough to clean the seeds up. You know, people ask me, well, how did I have them one sprout in my yard all the time from old fruit from last year? Well, acid rain can clean them off, fruit, sun, water. Mm-hmm. You know, there are other ways that they may clean. Do you want to take a chance on that? No. Mm-hmm. If I'm saving seed, I want to make sure that I'm going to get, you know, close to 100% germination.
Now, Gerald, how do you store your seed?
So I don't refrigerate anything.
Okay.
And I hear the gasp over radio.
it's way too early in the morning.
Over radio land right now. I put them in coin envelopes, which mm-hmm. is essentially a mini manila envelope, mm-hmm. And I put them somewhere where they can stay dry, not in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lots of people save in Ziploc bags.
Mm-mm.
I don't like the Ziploc bags. One, they're aggravating, as you know what, to get them out of the bag. And two, if you left them somewhere, like on top of a desk, close to a window, the sun shining on them could heat them up. You could do damage to the seeds.
Yeah.
But you have to have them dry when you put them in something. You have to keep them somewhere dry.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt to keep them cool, but it's not mandatory to keep them cool. I've had 10 or 12-year-old tomato seed germinate at 90%.
Yeah.
How about that? Next thing, Rufus, we need to cross the Rufus tomato with the Cousin Gladys tomato.
Well, we can't get much more crossing until we can get one to stabilize. We're already running into all sorts of variations now.
Well, now, let me tell you, another problem we've got is our friend Craig and your friend
Greg Hulier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I should have had him on this morning.
Mike,
I'm not qualified to be here.
Show Gerald a picture of that Rufus tomato of his brand. So we're going to have some confusion here and there.
That's the red stripe one. Well, we won't have confusion because all of the ones so far look so radical different that you wouldn't even know where they were kin. So that thing, if we can get them to stabilize, will be good because the variations are all over the place.
Mm. All right. Well, we've already gone through an hour talking about tomatoes, and we may continue that coming up.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
A little
more pepper on mine, please. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.